Welcome to the Context Machine, episode 616. I'm not going to say it. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. I want to point out that if you take 616 and flip it over, it's now 919. So if you like to hang upside down, we are fast approaching 1,000.
That's a palindrome cattywampus. A cattywampus palindrome. Except that it's...
I'm sure that's the technical term for it.
That it's neither, but, you know, what else?
Yeah. Yes, a digitally inverted palindrome. How's that? That sounds legit.
I don't know why that amuses me so much. Folks, I apologize. Why you listen to us, I don't know. I can't imagine, but thanks for being here.
I know why people listen to us.
Why?
Because first, they like our chemistry and the banter that we have. Uh-huh. And second, they take great pleasure in me dropping triggers for you and letting you just rant for a while. I mean, this is like amazing entertainment.
Earlier, before when we were prepping for the show, he was telling me a story. I was multitasking, meaning I wasn't actually listening to a story.
And I said, I'm only because it's true.
And I said, I'm sorry, man. I was multitasking. And then he starts talking about it. Because I didn't actually even hear you. Can you tell me again? And his response was, it's like we're married. You don't listen to me.
Oh my God. That is verbatim what I said.
Which, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. It's kind of a sad commentary on the state of marriage, at least in the States. But
or at least ours.
our past marriages, sure.
No, I meant this one right now.
Oh, this one too. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. Anyway, you can use contextmachine.io. I have no idea if Jeff even mentioned that earlier, but that's our site. And you can use it to reach out to us.
I totally didn't mention it.
Okay.
Yeah, just reach out to us. Find Google us. You can find us out there.
That's true. And we're on post.news and Mastodon at Context Machine. And I may mention this again, but I would love if anyone has an invite to Blue Sky. That's Jack Dorsey's new social network project. Blue Sky. If you have an invite for Blue Sky, I would love it. You can send that to contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com, and you're welcome to specify which of us gets to use it. If you would prefer that Jeff have it or I have it, that's fine.
that's only fair.
And if we get more than we can use, we will let you know by email. Thank you very much, but we already got them and we already used them. And, you know, so please, you know, give this to someone else or something like that. We're not greedy.
We're not greedy. Hey, Brian,
yeah.
Did you see that we have a sponsor today?
Oh yeah, I did actually. Factor, right?
Yes.
Excellent. We're going to tell you more about Factor later in the show. We appreciate having them as a sponsor. So in the meanwhile, we have sort of a scattershot kind of set of topics. You mentioned something that I know absolutely nothing about, i.e. just another week, and that was Apple announcing some accessibility stuff. So, like, lay it on us.
Okay, so this week, Apple announced new accessibility features for iOS. The announcement timing totally makes sense. They announced this on May 16th. And so that, I believe, was like a day before Global Accessibility Awareness Day. Mm. So if Apple's going to do a big accessibility announcement, having it happen about the same time as Global Accessibility Awareness Day totally makes sense, and they have done this before. So that is not precedent setting. The timing of it's cool, yes. And the timing also fits well with the rumors that Apple is going to be dropping lots of announcements before WWDC because they have so much packed in already that they need to clear some stuff out first. Makes sense for this because these are features available this fall. So that tells me when the new version of iOS comes out.
That is interesting that they would pre-announce that in May. The timing does make sense, of course. But so tell us what's in there.
Okay, so the big feature that I see that I think people are just going to love, it's called personal voice. So let's say that for whatever reason, you need to have a digital version of your voice. Mm-hmm. Picture like someone who's suffering from some sort of disease or other malady that is robbing them of their voice, like literally preventing them from being able to speak.
Sure.
Before they lose their voice completely, they can use their iPhone and train it with their voice. So there's like this 15-minute thing you have to do.
Probably very similar to some of the stuff that we've seen over the years of any computerized voice training. Like this, like we're seeing a lot of that stuff for the Siri, the woman that was doing the Siri voice. We'd see a lot of her recordings.
Yes. Now, for those sessions take hours and hours,
but it's
because there's so much you have to say. But in this case, 15 minutes.
But and it's surely related.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I accept your apology.
I'm just saying yeah because I wasn't listening to what you said, and I figured if I said yes, that it would just make it go away, whatever it was.
That's fair.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said it's surely related.
To what?
To the things that we've seen in the past for how these voices are made.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Again, I accept your apology. Carry on.
You're going to sleep on the couch again tonight. Anyhow, so it takes 15 minutes to do the training thing. And then you have this digital version of your voice stored on your iPhone. So it's something that can't be stolen from you, really, because the whole thing is stored locally. Boy, this is the reason why Apple needs to have iPhones with such crazy powerful processors, because if you're going to be doing this stuff locally, you need the horsepower in your pocket to make it happen.
Right. And I'd like to immediately point out that I would never in a million years trust another company with that.
Yeah.
Not from a security standpoint, not from a marketing standpoint, not from a privacy standpoint.
Yes. There's like two things. There's two levels here. There's this personal level, meaning like consumer level, where I'm okay trusting Apple with this because they're saying it's all being handled locally on device, and they have a track record of actually being legit about these things. You have the professional level where you're in a studio and you're doing this as part of a company, and it's a totally different thing. So, so you can have a digital version of your voice. You type something out and immediately it gets translated into your spoken voice. I think this is going to be incredibly empowering and really cool for people. The feature that I'm personally most excited about is called Point and Speak, and it works with a magnifier. So, my eyes aren't the best. My eyesight with glasses is totally reasonable and allows me to function pretty much normally all the time. The problem is because of the way my eyesight is, like a lot of people, there are zones where it's literally impossible for me to focus either with my glasses or without. So that makes it hard in stores sometimes when I'm trying to read labels or see what the price is of something. So I've used the magnifier and the camera, take photographs, whatever, with my iPhone in stores. I'm going to start using Point and Speak and magnifier. So this uses the camera on your iPhone. You point your phone at whatever it is that has text on it. It identifies where all the text is. And then you just point, like, in real space, not point or tap at the screen. Put your finger out and point at the thing that you want your phone to read. And then your iPhone figures out where your hand is, which text thing it's pointing at, and it reads it to you. So for people that have really, really bad eyesight, like way worse than mine, imagine like they're in a building and they need to hit a button like to buzz someone's apartment or pick the right floor on an elevator to go to. They can now just very quickly hold up their phone, point, and then their phone will read to them whatever it is they're pointing at to make sure that they got the right thing.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So there are some other features that are going along with all this. Those are the two big standout ones for me. And I figure with your attention span, that's probably about all we should hit for now.
That is probably true. I had a package. I apologize. I've got a UPS person who will not leave anything on our doorstep.
Wait, so you're saying you walked away?
Yes.
While I was sitting here explaining all this to you.
Yes. But I had a point I wanted to make. So I'm going to be extra rude and come back to it.
Okay. Let's come back to your point.
Which is, we're already seeing reports of bad guys using generative AI to fake your loved one's voice and with a phone call, you know, begging or asking for money in an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, Apple is like the one company I would trust to deliberately record my voice so that it can be replicated artificially. But even that is has the potential for mischief. And it's going to be interesting. Now, one of the things that I've seen recommended to people is that families, and you can probably very broadly interpret that term family and come up with, you know, code words to prevent this, the kind of scam where someone is faking your loved one's voice.
Yes, I'm with you. And
with Apple doing something like this, that'll probably become even more important because, like, you know, even if someone is not up to mischief, doubting something because you know this exists, that in and of itself can be a stress point.
Have you watched season 3 of Star Trek Picard?
Yeah.
Without offering any spoilers, what you're describing is manifest in the season.
I don't remember that.
Okay. Well, we will talk about it after the show so that I don't offer up any spoilers.
Okay. We can do that. Regardless, the two things you mentioned, and I did catch the tail end of the second one, it does also sound important and cool, and I look forward to seeing more of that. How's that?
I think that sounds awesome. Yeah.
All right. How about I take this opportunity to tell you about Factor?
I would love that because I'm hungry. So please.
Excellent. Tell me about Factor. Let me see if I can't make that worse. So here's the deal. Factor brings you ready to eat meal kits. These are ready to eat. They're fully cooked. They're pre-portioned. They're very easy to heat up. The instructions say basically poke holes in the plastic and then microwave it for 2 minutes. I've often gone 2.5 minutes for my particular microwave. Your microwave is going to vary. It's delicious food and it's easy. It's fast. Saves a lot of money from like ordering, you know, Grubhub and DoorDash and Uber Eats and, you know, whatnots. Mm-hmm. And it is really convenient. It's super fast. It's super easy. It's tasty and they're healthy meals that are prepared by chefs.
Nice.
Yeah. It's super, super good. They can accommodate your, any food allergies you might have, any, they have several dietary, restriction oriented meals. I know that they're really big on providing keto meals. They'll do vegetarian, they'll do vegan. And it, like you, right. When you did yours, you, mm-hmm. You told them you couldn't have dairy.
Right. And it was not a problem at all to accommodate my dairy allergy.
Fantastic. That is,
which is great.
That is fantastic. They also have calorie smart meals that are meals with, as they put it, with around or less than 550 calories per serving. They'll do like these extra, you can do extra things where you're adding on extra stuff or adding on, like they have various desserts you can add on. They've got the smoothies that are very delicious that you can add on. You can do, they call them protein plus meals, so 30 grams of protein or more per serving, right? They have a lot of different things, and everything I've had from Factor, and I was a subscriber long before they came onto the show as sponsors. Everything I've had from them has been delicious and again super easy, which I completely love. The portions are proper and appropriate, and it's good stuff. And here's the thing, Jeff,
Brian,
because you're listening, well, not you, because I know you're not listening, but for everyone who is listening, you can head to factormeals.com/TCM50. And use code TCM50 to get 50% off your first box. Hold on,
I'm writing that down. TCM50. Got it. Okay. Right.
Factormeals.com/TCM50. Use code TCM50, and that's the context machine 50, to get 50% off your first box, which is a heck of a deal. We appreciate them sponsoring us, and we would like for you to check them out.
Yeah. Yes, please go check them out. And thank you, Factor Meals, for being our sponsor.
Yeah, for sure. Next, for things that I didn't know that you mentioned pre-show, would be Disney announcing some news.
Okay. So Disney is going to remove more than 50 shows from Disney Plus and Hulu.
They're pulling in HBO. Month. I'm sorry. Who's the new mother?
They're pulling a Max.
A Max. Yeah, but it wasn't really Max that. Who's HBO Max's owner now? Is it Discovery?
Discovery.
Yeah, it's Discovery that announced it, where they pulled all these shows.
Yeah.
To save a couple bucks, including a bunch of beloved shows.
Yes. Yep. And so Disney is doing the same thing. So. Actually, it's coming up really fast. 50 so,
50 shows?
More than 50 shows on May 26th. Boom. Gone.
Wow.
Yeah, including Willow. That series was released in January, and they have two more seasons planned.
This is the new TV show.
This is the new TV show. Yes. Willow. It's going to be gone.
Well, that
which has me stinks. Questioning if they're even going to make the rest of the series now.
I can't imagine. I mean, is this cost cutting? Do we know?
Oh, it's absolutely cost cutting. Yes, they said they're pulling all these shows to save money,
and they're going to be paying. Oh, this is great. Quote: I'm quoting from The Verge. But they're quoting, I'll get to it somewhere in here. We are in the process of reviewing the content on our DTC services to align with the strategic changes in our approach to content curation. Wow, corporate speak, said McCarthy. Who is McCarthy? McCarthy, Chief Financial Officer, Christine McCarthy. Okay.
Okay.
She said, Boy, that's such corporate speak. Adding that Disney expects to pay a content impairment charge between $1.5 to $1.8 billion for the removals. According to Variety, that was a quote from The Verge, not from Christine McCarthy. According to Variety, Bob Iger, CEO of Disney, has targeted $3 billion in savings for 2023 after spending almost $30 billion on content for the Disney Plus streaming service last year. All right, so this is definitely about cost
cutting. Yeah.
And if they're pulling Willow, it's impossible to imagine the season two will actually be aired.
Yeah. Okay. So to go along with that, along with pulling Willow, they're pulling The Making of Willow, which actually was a really fun mini documentary. Mm. The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
Mm. Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
This one just stings. Marvel's Voices Rising, The Music of Wakanda Forever.
Mm.
That's a really quality piece, and to see that go, just,
and Stargirl also from
Stargirl, yep,
from Marvel, and Marvel's
Stargirl is from DC.
Oh, I knew that.
You were testing me.
Stargirl, which is that's a DC property, right, Jeff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Brian. You're right. That's a DC property.
Excellent. But we have Marvel's Project Hero, Marvel's Empower, Marvel's Voices Rising, The Music of Wakanda Forever, which you just mentioned. Stargirl. I did watch Stargirl.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love it, but I liked it. America the Beautiful. I don't know what that is. Better Nate Than Ever. Don't know what that is. Weird But True. Timmy Failure. Be Our Chef. Magic Camp. A lot of these shows I just don't know. Foodtastic. Stuntman. Disney Fairy Tale Weddings.
Yes, some of these are focused at
kids,
younger kids, yeah, and at the YA tween space.
That makes sense. On Hulu, because this is Disney Plus and Hulu. Why the Last Man is apparently being pulled. I enjoy. Mm-hmm. It's funny. That's one of those shows that I really liked and then didn't finish. Do you have those shows?
Well, you better hurry up.
Yeah, apparently. Pistol, Little Demon, Maggie, Dollface, The Hot Zone, The Premise, Love in the Time of Corona, Best in Snow. Do you see what they did there? Best in Dough. Do you see what they mm-hmm. did there? Darby mm-hmm. and the Dead and The Quest. All right, so maybe not a bunch of, I don't know. It's a lot of shows to pull. It's a lot of shows.
Yeah. It is.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
It is. It's a little bit disappointing, a little bit sad. But, you know, the reality is, Jeff, you and I have talked. Mm-hmm. I think I've argued this more
vociferously.
Yes, than you. But I've said for a while that we've been in a golden age of TV. That even though we've had more and more content coming out, more and more and more of it was good, right? And, you know, we don't have mm-hmm. Gilligan's Island shows anymore. And, you know, Gilligan's Island and Beverly Hillbillies, which I'm not going to universally condemn, but, you know, those shows came out and were hits when we had three networks. The end.
Yes. And we also, around the same time, we had shows like Star Trek come out.
And get canceled.
A little bit later, still basically three networks, MASH.
I'm not saying there weren't good shows.
Cagney
back then,
and Lacey.
But I am saying that we have never before had as many fantastic shows as we've experienced probably since about, and I would say 2010. That's when Justified started.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe a year or two or four before that, but, you know, basically some of the cable networks, USA Today, FX did justified. But that company that owns them, they were making really, really high quality shows. And I feel like that's when it started. The streaming world, you know, and like, again, this is what this proliferation, like, you know, so you're having, theoretically, you're having writing talent more and more diluted. But I would argue, apparently not. Theoretically, you have acting talent more and more diluted. You have, and again, I would say apparently not. And, you know, the same with directing and all of these things. And we just gotten all these great shows. So to have some pullback, especially in the age of consolidation, that's what, that was what the deal was with Discovery Networks or whatever their mega giant company is called these days. When they bought HBO and canceled all the shows, it was because they were consolidating from a merger. That's not the case with Disney, but Disney has a lot of shows out there.
They do. Yeah, they do.
They spent $30 billion last year on content. It's a lot of money.
That's a lot
almost,
of money.
Sorry, almost $30 billion.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. But it was also a diverse collection of content, which is good.
Yeah, for sure.
And some really top-notch shows.
Some really top-notch shows, yeah. It's pretty I've never seen the Willow movie.
I just loved it. Now, keep in mind, I saw it when it came out.
Sure.
And it, that was a totally different experience at the time. Like it really broke new ground.
Yeah, for sure it did.
Yeah. So I don't know how well the movie holds up today. I like to think it still holds up pretty well
for its day.
Yeah.
And I'm bummed that the series is being canceled.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's being canceled since they're pulling season one.
That's true. We don't actually know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's being canceled.
But, yeah, I mean, I loved what they did with the movie. And I think that they really let the series mature. Like, if the movie was being made today, I think that the TV series is being true to what it would be.
Sure. And Netflix, too, really expanded and plowed a bunch of money into a bunch of new shows. And maybe not all. I mean, and they ended up canceling some shows, and some of them were really good shows. But at the same time, there was a lot of expansion. And the same thing is true with Disney. Apple, I think, has been a lot more careful and methodical.
I agree. Yes, Apple has been. Which brings me to Tetris.
Yeah, let's talk about
Tetris. Have you watched it yet?
Well, funny enough, it's a two-hour movie, give or take a bit. And I watched the first hour, and then I watched the second, third, another 30 minutes, and while I was eating lunch, and then we needed to record.
I'm amazed you've been able to watch it in segments.
I did not. I wanted to watch the whole thing through. I time management just didn't allow me. You know me. I'm really sorry. I tried to pull that on you. My pretense at time management didn't allow me to watch it in one sitting. It's fantastic.
Oh, I absolutely love it. It is so well written. The acting is great. I think the pacing is just wonderful. And while they have taken a few liberties with how some of the things happened, just so that they could have the right pacing and get people from one place to another, and explain how they got there. Yeah, so that there's a little bit of embellishment, but not where it really counts. So the absolute craziness of what you see in that movie, of what the people are going through, that's a thing. That really happened.
This movie is the story of how Tetris was brought from Russia to everywhere else. during,
right,
essentially during the last days of the Soviet Union.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This is all playing out as the Soviet Union was fast approaching its last days. Yeah, you're right.
Was Mirosoft a real company?
Or did they make that up? Yeah, the companies are all real.
Yeah, okay. So they aren't holding any punches there. Company was active between 83 and 91. They figure into the story, according. Oh, it was a subdivision of the Mirror Group newspapers, as in
yes,
the Mirror,
which okay, is which an important thing,
which explains the head of that company.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Again, yeah. I haven't actually gotten to the end of it. So, yeah. Interesting. Dave saw this at South by Southwest when it was being previewed.
Dave Hamilton.
And he was telling us, you got to watch, he said that and Air, the story of Air Jordan.
Which I haven't had a chance to watch yet.
I haven't watched that one yet either. He couldn't shut up about either one of these movies after he saw them at South by Southwest. And it just took me a little while to get to it in that I just started watching it 2 days ago. So, but it's great. He was right. My point is that he was correct. It's fantastic.
Yes. And it plays in very nicely to what you're saying about Apple is taking a slower, more methodical approach to adding content, and they are picking high quality content across the board. It may not all appeal to each of us, but it's all really well done stuff.
Agreed. At this point, Apple has so many shows, I have not seen them all, and like there are many that I have not seen.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty far cry when they launched and everyone was saying, oh, they've got no content.
Which just amazed me that people were bagging on Apple because they didn't have content. It was a brand new streaming service. And unless you're buying a back catalog, you're not going to have a lot of content.
That was part of the criticism, is that Apple was not buying a back catalog. That was part of the criticism.
Oh, that's true. That was part of the criticism. I didn't think that criticism was appropriate because it was clear that wasn't Apple's goal with this service.
But we know that they were in talks to buy Warner Brothers or Universal.
No, they weren't.
Yeah, they were.
That was a rumor.
I believed that rumor. I think it was more than a rumor. And those talks, I mean, obviously Apple had the money to buy whatever they wanted to buy. Right. Mm-hmm. So if they'd really been keen on buying it, they could have done it. So at some point Apple decided either, you know what, this is not what we want to do, or they decided, you know what, we're not going to pay that much, so let's do it this other way. It's one of the two.
Yeah, very likely. And, however they got to the decision, I think they made the right choice.
I think
I'm okay with Apple not being a back catalog streaming service.
Okay, but they do have back catalog content that they're streaming. I think that if they had done a back catalog, that we would have been just fine with that too. They're we making
would have been,
what,
sure.
They are making their decision work. I will give you that.
They are. Hence, I'm fine with the decision they ended up going with.
Okay. All right. Next, City on Fire, another Apple TV Plus show. Have you started
it? I have not seen that one.
It's new. I think of episode 4, I think, dropped today. I know there's a new episode, and I'm almost positive it's episode 4. This is set a couple years after in New York City, after the World Trade Center went down. Story's not directly about that. It is, there's a lot of music. I don't even know how to say what the show is about.
Well,
but I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm reading the description of the show
from
the Apple TV Plus website.
I didn't bother to do that. So what's it say?
It says, a college student is shot in Central Park on July 4th, 2003. The investigation connects a series of mysterious citywide fires, the downtown music scene, and a wealthy uptown real estate family fraying under the strain of the many secrets they keep.
Okay, that is accurate from what I've seen. Do we know if this is based on a true story or is it all fiction?
I have no idea.
I don't know if it doesn't say.
What would make it more fascinating to you if it was based on a real story? Because if that would make it more fascinating, then I'll say yes.
No,
I saw Fargo, and I know it's okay to say that it's based on a true story, even if it's not.
It wouldn't change my level of fascination one way or the other. I'm kind of more curious as a storyteller than I am as a fan of the show. And if Apple is not saying based on a true story right there in that description, then it's not. It, however, feels pretty solid to me. It feels real. So, you know, some good storytelling going on. I haven't read the books or the book. I want to read the book at this point. I just finished the Slow Horses books. The ones that have been published, which is about like seven books past. I mean, I think they're eight or nine. I just read book eight or nine, and we've had two seasons, which is book one and two on Apple TV Plus. Books are great, and they just keep getting better. Written by Mick Herron, H-E-R-R-O-N, for what that is worth. All right, next we have Silo, book based on the series of the same name by Hugh Howie, first book of which was called Wool. But the show is called Silo, which is what the series of books is called, from Hugh Howie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I watched the first two episodes and was impressed with the actors, their acting, the costumes, the sets, and the story was leaving me very nonplussed. I was having a hard time buying into.
How are you using nonplussed? Because I think you just used it wrong. And I'm not being pedantic. Because I just discovered that I've been using, using and defining the French term entre nous incorrectly for 40 years. 40 years I've been using that term incorrectly. I thought it meant an introduction into to some circle of society. It does not. It means between people, like between us. That's what it means. So I've been misusing it for 40 years. Anyway, how are you using nonplussed here? Because the way I heard it was not what the word means.
Okay, so I'm using it more in the informal North American sense, except I'm still using it wrong in the North American sense, because it would mean that I wasn't actually like really concerned or bothered by what happened. No, I'm reading it online right now.
A person surprised and confused so much that they are unsure how to react.
Okay, that's not the North American definition, Mr. Pedantic. The informal North American. Are we going to have to go back to the ain't discussion again?
Yeah, we are.
Informal North American use of the term nonplussed does not mean what it does historically.
Listen, the difference between this and ain't is that ain't is a made-up word, and it's the made-up word aspect that had pedants all a tizzy and a bother. In this particular case, nonplussed means a thing that is not intuitive from its construction. And what you're telling me is that so many people have used it wrong that the wrong definition is becoming acceptable.
That's how language works.
That annoys the crap out of me. Now, please refer back to
that's why irregardless episode is actually in the dictionary now. I am not a fan of ear regardless. However, it's an accepted word now. Regardless, I was using nonplussed incorrectly for the sense that I thought I was using it as the informal North American usage of the word. So what I really meant was that I was not engaged by the show.
Yeah, you found it ho-hum.
And
You found it ho-hum.
Yeah, I found it kind of ho-hum. Yeah. And I was having a very difficult time with my suspension of disbelief and buying into the explanations for the situations that were presented, knowing full well that at some point we're probably going to get a twist where we get a different explanation. Everyone gets the big aha moment. But the fact that the people are in the situation they're in and acting in the ways that they are acting, just the community in general, I could not buy into it. And I was ready to walk away from the show. I went ahead and watched the third episode, and I felt it was much better. While I still have major issues buying into a lot of what's going on, I was at least enjoying what I was watching.
All right, so, fair.
Yeah, Silo.
I've read the books. I'm enjoying the show much more than the books so far. A new episode 4, dropped today, probably after midnight, or like, in other words, many hours ago. But I definitely saw it today, and I didn't see it before midnight. Sorry, just being, a little bit micro-focused here. So,
and I have not watched it.
Episode 4 is out. I'm enjoying it. I recommend it. City on Fire, I'm enjoying it. I recommend it. Tetris is amazing. I absolutely 100% recommend it. I don't know that City on Fire is going to be everybody's cup of tea. And Silo is going to appeal to folks who like a, post-apocalyptic story. So that's definitely not going to appeal to everybody. Right up my alley.
Yeah. I like that we have a wide range of shows available on Apple TV Plus.
Yes.
If everything appealed to us, I would be really concerned about the streaming service overall.
True,
because
that
that would tell me there's not enough diversity to have a very large subscriber base.
Fair. All right. Listen, we have to post the show.
Yeah. So that you can get back to finishing Tetris.
Yes. That is exactly the case. So let me do this, Jeff. And then let you know something you probably never heard before in your life because you don't listen to me. That's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment, add or question, you can write us at contextmachine.io. I am Geek Tells on the various social medias and geektells.com. Jeff, you are Jake Gammon. Is that correct?
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. Yes, that's correct. Also, Brian,
yeah.
Our show today was sponsored by Factor. So everyone should head over to factormeals.com/TCM. Use that discount code TCM50 and get 50% off your first box.
Right. And you did the same thing I did. So I'm just going to point out specifically that it's factormeals.com/TCM50.
Mm-hmm.
And use that code, TCM50, 50% off your first box.
Yes.
Right.
That's the thing right there. Do it.
That is the thing. Our music was recorded by Dr. Boom just for us. And that is all for this week.